This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Football. Energy drinks. Beer. More football. Welcome to Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night, final hour. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez producing the operation. A little bit weird for it to be 8 o'clock. I know it's been daylight a lot. It's almost like a twilight show now instead of a night show.
I love it.
Do you like it?
Do you like it
when we started in the cold darkness at 6 o'clock?
No. The light. Why would you ever?
Because it was a night show, you know?
No.
You do a night show at night.
It is night. It's still night. Just because there's daylight out doesn't mean it's not night.
It's got a different feel to it.
I like the feel.
Makes me uncomfortable.
You're like a winter cold and dark guy. I'm more of the.
You know, I do like it dark. Like, do you enjoy a lot of lights on? I do not.
I do. Well, yeah.
Oh, really?
Yes. My girlfriend always gets on me because I always leave the lights on. Every room I go to, I turn the lights on. Fall asleep with the lights on.
See, I don't. It's weird. I don't know.
Wear shorts in the wintertime.
I do.
Bink. You don't count.
There's a lot of things I do that's not the norm.
You're an abnormal guy.
But I'm okay with that, you know?
For sure.
I'm okay with that. By the way, we heard Andy Reid's thoughts on Nick Bolton. Here was the general manager, Brett Veach, thoughts on both Bolton and Creed Humphrey.
Well, we certainly had a lot of opportunities to watch Nick Bolton play, being local and just a great player. And you know, both these guys, I think, you know, we not only got better on the offense and defensive side, but both these guys, you talk about their intelligence, their durability and, you know, their leadership skills. I mean, these are two high character players and people are going to be great in the community. They're going to be great in the locker room. They're going to come in, they're going to learn the playbook quickly. They're going to get up to speed. A lot of this, especially, you know, last year with having OTAs and this year, hopefully, you know, we get into these OTAs, but I'm sure it'll be a little bit different than in years past. You know, you got to get into the playbook and you got to get caught up to speed quick, but both these guys, Adam, I mean, they're extremely intelligent, both captains, leaders, guys that played a ton of football at their respective universities. So I think both these guys, you talk about Nick Bolton, I mean, he's a guy that can come in here and play and both at the mic position and the will position. He's got sideline to sideline range. Again, tough, smart, can make all the calls, has made all the calls. You know, you look at Anthony Hitchens and he's, you know, he's one of the guys that does a lot for us, but you know, when Hitch goes down, you know, we're really looking to add depth there. And then, again, his versatility to play either Mike or Will and Creed's another guy that's played a lot of football. I mentioned earlier, we had some flexibility there with Austin and with Joe Tooney. Now with Creed coming in here, needless to say, now you feel good about leaving Tooney where he's most comfortable, and that's at that guard position. And Creed now gives you a bigger center option, and we've been talking about that. Again, it'll be a great competition, and they're going to have to come in here and compete, and may the best man win. Austin's shown that he can come in and play, and he's done that over his career and shown he can do that at a high level. Creed offers, you know, a bigger body, and, you know, it kind of that pocket and the way that those larger linemen can affect the pocket is certainly different with Creed blocking in there. So again, it'll be great competition and we have some flexibility now. And we have most importantly, a lot of depth.
Creed is also ambidextrous, Julio. Can use the left and the right.
As now
he can snap with both. He typically prefers the left hand when it comes to snap, but of course that's going to be up to Mahomes. Do you want your center to be snapping from the left or the right? But he's ambidextrous. And you know what they say is, which I'm not, but they say it's a sign of intelligence, being able to use both hands.
And what's my problem?
Well, Exact. Can you use both hands?
I am ambidextrous.
Are you really?
I am.
I've always considered you kind of intelligent.
Oh, that makes one. I'll take it.
Well, I didn't realize that. So are you dominant one hand or the other?
It's weird. I throw right-handed. I eat and right left-handed. I eat sushi with both hands.
Sushi?
Yeah.
Both hands?
Both hands.
That's the only food?
Chopsticks, both hands.
Well,
anything. Both hands I could do.
If I was to give you a baseball right now, which way would you throw it, right or left?
I throw right-handed.
Oh, you throw right?
I throw right-handed.
You a switch hitter when you bat?
It's been a while since I've tried that, but yes. Back in the day, I could switch it, yes.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we've seen Mahomes start with the left hand, right?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen everything from Mahomes. He doesn't count. He's a different animal.
Well, we always know how smart linemen are, but you add in that ambidextrous angle, look out for Creed. But I like what Veach says there. Competition. No one's going to just be given their job because your draft pick, whatever. I've always wondered, like if coaches, like great coaches, if they had amnesia, like who they would start. I've always often wondered that at training camp. Like if you didn't know what people made or what round they were selected and you just had to go off how good a football player they are, who would start and who wouldn't? It would probably surprise you with the contract details. And then you should never go by that. He doesn't. I mean, that's what I like about it. Like, he doesn't care if you're undrafted, or he didn't care if you're a fourth-round pick like Snead, fifth-round pick like Tyreek Hill. Doesn't care. Can you play football or not? And that's a sign of a good coach, man. When they don't care how much money you make, what part you were drafted, what kind of playing time you need to make incentives, it's a business, man. You got to win games. That's the name of the game.
Leave the politics out of it.
Yeah, who cares about it? Just clean slate for everybody. Mitch Holthus has joined Fesco in the morning. Well, he did all football season long, and it was always great to hear Mitch. And he's joined him the last couple weeks for about 25 minutes. Mitch on Fesco in the morning is always much listened to. But he talked about the additions of Nick Bolton and Creed Humphrey. Here's Nick Bolton with Mitch Holthus.
Yeah, and he can do a lot of stuff too. Mizzou fans know that. I think the knock on him was coverage skills. I guess I'm not seeing it. Maybe it's you have to cover as a linebacker these days. People say, and he's a three-down linebacker, but now teams, Kling, and you know this, will put you in a third-down situation on first down because of personnel. Yep. If they think that's your weak runt pig, they're going to do that. I mean, some of it they'll do it just because. Some of it they'll do it, they think, hey, your backer can't cover in the passing game, and we're going to run these arrow routes or wheels, and we're just going to kill you in it. But he can cover it. I don't know if he can cover downfield, but in that 12 to 15-yard range, he's really good at it. I mean, you look at what he was able to do, productivity. We see his tackles, but he had 10 passes defensed in 19 and 15 in 2 years. Now, he had two picks. They might have both been in the West Virginia game. Like, he wrecked them. But the other thing about Nick Bolton, if you dig a little deeper into him, he had some of his biggest games against the bigger opponents. Like, his breakout game in 2018 was against Alabama, at Alabama. He makes the game-saving play against LSU, arguably their biggest win last year. Mm-hmm. So it's not like he's stockpiling stats against Nicholls State or Lamar.
That's Mitch on Nick Bolton. I always like Nick. Mitch came in with a binder that was huge. I don't know if you've seen Wilkowski's picture of it, the tweet of it.
Yep.
He does his homework. I mean, I would say, because I bring on the voice of the Colts, Matt Taylor, from time to time. He's really into who. But oftentimes, you won't see play-by-play guys do the kind of work that Mitch put into this draft. Him and Matt McMullen, the work that they put in for the draft, it's unbelievable because he uses that. And he uses that for play-by-play. When he talks about the player, their background, the wrestling background, or you name it with Creed, Humphrey, he's going to talk about here in a second. But the amount of work that he puts in, I love it. I love listening to that whole interview. I went back and listened to it again. That's why I cut it up. Here's Mitch on Creed.
The knock on him, when you go at his sheet, is the reach, right? You
look
at
his
short arms, 32 and a half inch arm. You got short arms. To me, and I love reach. I think reach or is the arm, you know, wingspan is the most underrated metric, at least in football and basketball. But in this instance, if I'm going to have a short wingspan, it's my center that I don't want to have a short wingspan, right? It's not my tackle or my guard for reach block. But I think, yes, I think Creed can play right away. It'll be interesting to see what they do with him and Blythe in switching off. But this is a guy that can be in that second lap with Patrick Mahomes and maybe his third lap. Like, this is a guy that can be your eight-year guy, and maybe he's the next second-round pick to go up on the Ring of Honor. But he was great on Saturday. You know, we have Draft Fest, and it was less folks this year, but, man, they were fired up to be there. And Nick and Creed were there, so a chance to chat with those guys. And immediately, like with Creed, you can see, hey, he's going to win over the room. He's going to be, at some point, he will be leading that offensive line room and be a big part of your team.
Another thing Mitch talked about, and this is going back before the draft, when he was talking about Tommy Tremble. I like Tommy Tremble as well. Chiefs didn't get Tommy Tremble. Goes to the Panthers, but regardless, they bring in Noah Gray as tight end. I'll play what he says about Noah Gray, but this is the emphasis that Mitch had about the tight end position and why the Chiefs should be looking for to address it, because it makes sense. I know that Noah Gray was the pick, and we'll talk about that, but here was his thoughts on Tommy Tremble and why the Chiefs needed tight end too.
To me, tight end is intriguing in that spot because they have to get some help for Kelce at tight end. We've talked about that, but the fact that Kelce has been such a warhorse for three seasons, and it's really been understated. Now, we see the stats, and know he's had the best run of any tight end in the history of the league. It's what we don't see and how he affects the game. I've said Salvador Perez. It is a comparison. Travis Kelce and Perez affect the game more than any player on their teams when they're not touching the ball. And so we know what Kelce can do as a weapon.
Man, there's a lot to chew on that with Perez. I love this analogy. When they don't have the ball, like the leadership of Perez doing things, Kelce, how much of a decoy is he, how much your teams concentrate on him, but what they do without the ball, very interesting.
A move tight end, an X tight end. He had more snaps of any tight end as a split end last year than anybody in the league. It's not even close. He's got to have some help. And there's got to be an impact player there, not just a guy to fill in the blanks. So getting Blake Bell back will help, but I'm talking some of these other younger tight ends. And in that lower second round, talking about the sweet spot, let me just throw out a couple names here. Tommy Tremble from Notre Dame. Now, the knock on him is his hands. Like, he's not a Kelce receiver type. Excellent blocker. But he's enough of an athlete.
That's more and more on Tommy Tremble, whatever. But the first part of what he's saying, the emphasis, you know, Travis Kelce splits out wide. I think we take it for granted just how good and durable he's been. The Chiefs hadn't selected a tight end since 2015 with James O'Shaughnessy. But it was a need, and also you added another weapon like Noah Gray. They obviously like Noah a lot because they traded up to get him. But why do you trade up and get him? Some interesting stuff. I'll talk about Noah Gray and what Mitch Holthus had to say about him coming up in the second part. We look at what Mitch said when he talked about the three V's as well, value, versatility, and vision. I love. But coming up next, we'll take a timeout. We'll talk more Royals because Alex Gold's doing a really cool trip with Cody Tapp and Steven Serta to go watch the Northwest Arkansas Naturals. You know, Bobby Witt. And he gives you the opportunity to go down there with them. We discuss that next with Alex.
Bink at Night.
Welcome back to Bink at Night. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez having a ton of fun tonight. If you haven't checked out Alex Gold's Twitter or Cody Tapps or 610 Sports KC or Stephen Serta, they're doing something cool. And it's Saturday, May 15th is when they're doing it. It's real soon. It's like next weekend. They're going down to watch Bobby Witt. I will say Jonathan Bolin, you know, Nick Prada, like it's a lot of fun seeing what the Naturals are up to, but this is your chance to go have a little fun. And Alex Gold, fresh off getting LASIK surgery today, joins us, and I appreciate it, Alex. How did the surgery go?
It's good, man. It's actually pretty impressive and incredible. I'm only like 5 hours or so removed. I feel great, and I've almost probably about 85% or so of vision. I mean, you know, Bink, I did it. Glasses and contacts the last 22 years or so. It's kind of incredible just to be able to see already. So, I'm fired up about that.
I had them for 25 years. I wore glasses. I didn't when I went in there. It took me less than a minute to do the procedure, to be honest with you. I will say this. Can you see that you have no food in your apartment?
There is still no food in the apartment. No. Nope. Nope. Still no food in the apartment. Although the grill arrives here in a few days.
That's what I'm talking about.
We're going to start grilling a little bit. I can't wait. But yeah, no, I'm feeling good. DuraVision was fantastic. So excited about that. And I'm going to be able to watch Bobby Witt.
Oh,
clear vision as I've ever been able to have in my life. So
nah.
Perfect. We're excited about this road trip. You coming?
Yeah, you know what? I'm really thinking pretty hard about it. I went down to Arkansas a couple weeks ago. It's a lot of fun. A lot of breweries down there, too. You guys staying the night?
Yeah, so the plan is, and everybody can do their own deal, whatever they want to do, but we were thinking next Saturday for the Codeine Gold road trip, around 10 o'clock or so, we'll make our way down to northwest Arkansas. It's only about a 3.5-hour drive, so not too bad. And before the game, we'll have some more details on a bar or some place to meet up before the game with some listeners. And then we'll head and watch the Royals. We've got some Bobby Wood Jr. T-shirts as well that if you buy a ticket using the promo code 610SPORTS, and all the links are up on, as you mentioned, our Twitter account and Facebook page. And we'll watch some baseball and then hang out in Fayetteville a little bit afterwards. So we're excited. I haven't been to a Northwest Arkansas game, and I figured, you know what? What's the better time to do that than watch Bobby Wood Jr.?
No question. But not just Bobby, too. You know, Bobby's obviously the main attraction. You guys have the T-shirt, cool T-shirts as well. But it's fun. Team has a lot of young talent. I mean, a lot of the go-getters put in AA, you're going to see – maybe not the tried and true vets you'll see in AAA at this time, but the young, hungry stars loaded in AA.
Yeah, now's a great time to be down there. You're right. It's not just Bobby Witt. There's Nick Prado down there, who I believe the other night had a couple home runs. Overall, Eric Mejia, I believe, also.
MJ Melendez.
If I'm not mistaken, Nick Melendez. So, yeah, you never know how all that kind of stuff works out with injuries and call-ups, but we figured it's early enough in the minor league season, we feel pretty confident. We're crossing our fingers that there shouldn't be any shakeup before we get to Northwest Arkansas. But no, it's going to be a lot of fun, man, and hopefully some listeners. I got a text or two from a few people that are interested, and yeah, it's just a quick little day trip for some. Most people, I would assume, you'd want to stay the night so you could hang out and not have to worry about that and have a good time.
Sure. No, you want them in section 105, right? If they use the promo code 610SPORTS, it's the same section that you and Cody will be in.
That's right, yeah. So if you just go to, even if you don't see the link on our Twitter handles, you can just go to Northwest Arkansas Naturals website, select Saturday, May the 15th, type in under coupon code 610SPORTS, and then click on section 105. And that's the section we'll be in, and our listeners are going to be in. And I want to thank the Naturals, too. They got us a nice rate on the tickets, just $9.
Nice.
We'll get you in the door there. I think it's $5 to park, so it's relatively inexpensive. And it's really not a bad drive. You made the drive before, Bink, to down to Arkansas. 3.5 hours is nothing on a Saturday, especially when we're talking about, you know, the weather being nice. You're not going down there in the wintertime or anything like that.
You know what? You said you're going to hang out in Fayetteville afterwards?
That's the plan.
Saddleback Brewery, brother.
What is it?
Saddleback Brewery.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you.
You've got a long list of suggestions.
I went on a big-time Arkansas brewery trip, and I did the whole Fayetteville, and I did Little Rock, and I've done Eureka Springs as well. I love their beer, but I'm telling you, man, Saddleback is what I really enjoyed. I spent some time there, let me put it that way. But you guys go wherever you want, but I'm just saying, it's just, I throw out my suggestions.
I trust you when it comes to the breweries. I mean, there's very few people I would trust more when it comes to this, so I will add that to the list of suggestions for people that have sent in. And definitely value that. But yeah, we could talk some more. You gotta see if you can't make this work. It'd be fun if you get down there. We're trying to get as many people as possible, and hopefully some listeners. I know it's a little last minute, but we were trying to make sure Bobby Witt Jr. was actually going to be down in AA before we put everything together.
You know what? They do have an Airbnb there too, Gold.
An Airbnb or a bed and breakfast? I'm sure
Airbnb at the brewery.
Oh, you can stay at the brewery?
You're damn right.
Oh, man.
I'm just thinking of you guys and driving and stuff. You know, you might as well just park it there, you know?
I love it. Did you stay there?
I have not because it was occupied that night, but I stayed close by me, put it that way.
Oh, I mean, that sounds incredible.
It's in Springdale, not Fayetteville, but it's only like a 19-minute drive.
Yeah. The ballpark's in Springdale. And
that's where the brewery is.
Is not too far away. Yeah. No, I think we're gonna be right in that area. Whether you're coming down and you're gonna stay in Fayetteville or Springdale, you'll be in the right spot. And we'll have some more info up on our Facebook page too, as far as the plan before the game. But the gist of it is the Codeine Gold road trip next Saturday, May 15th. Game's at 6:05, so you can take your time getting down to Arkansas and then hang out. I know someone I just saw someone on Twitter, so they talked their wife into letting them go down.
How about that? I saw that.
So bring the whole family.
You know what? I might go with you guys, but then again, I got to wait because there was certain days we put out there for through your garage sale that you guys did for the NLBM, And Wachowski and I are going to drink with some people at Diametric. And I know the 15th was one of the days suggested. So I got to kind of wait and see because I might have to go drink beers with Wachowski on that night. So I will be doing a Cody and Gold type thing, but it might be here instead of there. But I would gladly go with you guys.
Yeah, no, let's make it happen either way. I appreciate you having me on to talk about it, Bink, and we got to get these Royals back on track.
You know what, Alex? I've never been to Northwest Arkansas. I've been to Omaha before. I've never been there. I definitely want to go there in Quad Cities. That stadium in Quad Cities, the new affiliate for the Royals, looks incredible.
It's right on the water.
So I know.
I'm with you. Yeah, no, it's one of those. It's on the list. Now, anytime you get a new affiliate, it's kind of interesting to check it out. Now's a good time to do it.
Minor league baseball is a ton of fun, but check out at Alex Gold on Twitter, at 610SportsKC. Of course, at Cody Tapp as well. There might be a jingle involved with Cody, though.
Always. He's going to have a couple more tomorrow. I wouldn't be surprised. We'll have to make one for you, too.
I hope so, because his jingle game is actually pretty good, to be honest with you, because the goal of jingles is to stick in your brain. And I'll admit that Cody makes things stick in my brain. I mean, really, they can be good or bad. It just sticks in your brain. Yeah. I mean, it's the ultimate goal, right?
That is. Hey, the jingles have been better than the raps. I think he's found the niche.
Yeah.
He's good to go now.
He's the jingle guy. All right. Thanks a lot, Gold.
Thanks, Big.
There you go, Alex Gold. This is very tempting, right? Northwest Arkansas will be a lot of fun. You got to get yourself down there or whatever, but the guys are going to meet up at a brewery or a bar, sometimes or a restaurant, whatever. I don't know where they're going to meet up, but it'll be
sounds
somewhere.
Like a blast.
It does sound like fun, doesn't it? Minor league baseball is a lot of fun, man. And this is cheap. This is $9 for a ticket. I mean, this is an easy day trip. This is something fun to do. Arkansas, I'm telling you, man.
It's an easy drive.
I just went down there recently. It's a lot of breweries, man. A lot of breweries. The beer scene in Arkansas is off the charts. 913-576-7610 is our phone number. It's also the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We come back. I mentioned Mitch before we went to Alex. I talked about Mitch. He said talked about the need for a tight end before the draft. What's he think about the pick after the draft? We discuss that next.
Bink at Night.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You could ask me a lot of things, Julio, and a lot of things that cannot give you a correct answer on. Relationships being one. Cooking food, another. Wardrobe selection would be another one, clearly. But if you had a question on braided belts, whitey tighties, I could probably answer a few questions.
Probably wouldn't have admitted to either one of those things, but...
Pleats?
Who am I to judge?
Could talk those too.
Pleats?
I believe pleats? Everything does come back. It does come back. I mean, look, people are wearing bell bottoms again.
No. You know,
I've seen people do it.
Whitey tighties? No.
Skinny jeans? You won't catch me in them.
That's fair.
Never will because I'm not skinny, but regardless, I wouldn't wear them anyway.
I am, and I wouldn't wear them.
I don't like them.
Grown men don't wear skinny jeans.
I like something baggy, you know, because I sweat a lot. I don't need to have my jeans sticking to me. I don't wear jeans, so it's a matter. Well, I do wear jeans if it's cold, but it's few and far between.
So you don't wear jeans?
I wore a grand total of pants about 5 days this year. Remember that week we had that was actually cold as hell? I'll be honest with you, it was minus 15, yeah. 10. That's definitely pants weather. I mean, if you're cargo pants.
You're a cargo pants guy. I know you. I know you are.
Cargo shorts, here's the thing, though, Julio. They're going to come back. I get it right now. People are laugh at it, but at one point they were popular. It's coming back.
Yeah.
The neon shirts that were popular in the 80s. Guess what? I see people wearing them now. Pleats will come back.
Pleats.
Why pleats went away? Pleats. Bigger guys wear pleats. They just do. It's more room. you'll notice more heavier set gentlemen wear pleats. There's a good reason for that.
Why do they wear whitey tighties, Spank?
There's no reason for that other than being cheap, like I am. But I'm just saying, things do come back. I'm not kidding. You just got to wait it out. Like, braided belts will come back. You may laugh now, but it will. Harbaugh used to wear all pleats, right? And then people gave him so much crap, so he started going, like, khakis without the pleats. Come on, Harbaugh, man. Don't give in. Don't give in to the
don't
pressure.
Don't conform.
Don't conform. I still wear cargo pants. You wear cargo pants?
I do not wear cargo pants. I wear cargo shorts. And I have nothing against cargo shorts.
But they're handy, though, right? Big pockets.
Lots of pockets.
Yeah, stuff.
Lots of storage.
If you're at training camp or something.
They're comfortable.
You use your phone now for everything, but still you used to use a recorder and all that. I mean, it was good for, and people in the media are not the right people to use for any kind of example on what to wear.
No, people in the media have terrible taste when it comes to wear.
They do. But the point of this being, Julio, is someone on the text line asked for beer choices and asked me a brewery. And I got to go to. Here's the thing. Julio is the Friday night producer where, well, now with the Royal season, a little bit different. We had two guys in a brewery, me and Nivens and Julio. And we had a different brewery, and we've probably done we've done every one in Kansas City, I think. We start off this year with a bang with like three straight weeks of new breweries that open. But we've done probably on the podcast page at 610sports.com, 435 podcast. We've done probably 70, 80 shows on breweries.
Yep,
even the area like St. Joe and Lawrence and stuff like that. We try to incorporate all the breweries around here. But I can give you an opinion usually because – chances are, because we don't do them unless we try the beer. Like, we either go there or have them bring the beer, or they came in the studio back before we could do that now. Hopefully things will change. We can bring them back in. But we've tried the beers, man. And I've gone to the States. I've gone up to Iowa. I've gone down to Arkansas to try the breweries. I like to be regional. I will say this, though. The last time I went to Arkansas, which was a couple weeks ago, I did end up buying something that's pretty commercial, Yingling.
You have to, though. That's different.
Because they sell it in Arkansas.
It's different.
Tennessee was the furthest west you could get it. So I have Johanna Tennessee actually for Yingling. It's a beer it's the oldest brewery in America, Pottsville, Pennsylvania. They make it in Tampa now too, but I will travel for Yingling.
It is delicious.
It is very delicious. But I had that in Arkansas and brought some back. So.
And you didn't bring me back any?
I did, actually.
Don't lie to me.
I have some.
I've got
the big boys, the pints. Bootlegging, I did.
I like it.
Mitch Holtis, Fesco in the Morning, 610sports.com. You can check out the full interview on demand. It was great. So I played before we went to Alex Gold talking about the cool trip he's doing next weekend down to Northwest Arkansas for the Naturals. But he talked about the role of the tight end, the use of Kelce, split out more than any other tight end in the NFL last season. You know, that X, we talked about the X. Who's going to be the X? Well, you can have your tight end actually do that role too, because look at his numbers. Second in the NFL in receiving yards. Year before, he's number one in the AFC in receiving yards. They use the tight end a lot to be an extension of what this passing game is. But what about Noah Gray? Out of Duke, didn't put up the numbers, but again, he forecast better pro than college. I think we can on several levels. There's a lot of different guys in this draft. Cornell Powell, I think better pro than in college. Chiefs got him. Noah Gray, I think better pro than in college. Tommy Trimble, a guy that I liked that went to Carolina, better pro than in college. Sometimes you got to speculate a little bit. But here was Mitch on Noah Gray and how they're going to be utilizing him. H-back, and I know they bring in Michael Burton, the fullback this year, but a guy that can play the fullback role, be an extension of the passing game as well. Good hands, made a nice one-handed grab down at Senior Bowl practices this year. But here's Mitch on the tight end, Noah Gray.
And I hadn't studied this guy. He's in the book, right? He's in the book, but he's dug down in there. Where'd we have him as far as tight ends? Ninth. He was the ninth-rated tight end. So he's right there. I don't know why Cutcliffe didn't use him more, because you go back and look at his video and you're going, he might be the guy. Now, he's not Kelce size. He's not Gronk size. But I'm not saying he won't kind of get there, but he's a skilled dude, and he's not afraid to block, four-core special teamer. So, yeah. Answer your question. Yeah, kind of.
It seemed like Travis was happy with that pick, too. And I think that said a lot. Like Kelce realized some of the stuff we've talked about. Like, I've played every snap for the last 17 years. I need a break here every once in a while. And it seems like maybe the way he reacted, they got a guy he feels like can take some of those snaps
for him. I played H-back, but I really didn't want to.
Yeah, yeah.
He did everything.
Yes.
He was the X receiver. He had more X receiver snaps than any tight end in the league by far. I think I told you that last week or 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, he had to be H-back. Like, I'll even see him working, like, 9-on-7 inside run drill at camp. Like, they're just, coach is just like, hey, keep riding. I'm like, just get him out of there. Let this guy do it. Mm-hmm. This guy's willing to do it. And so you also have to replace Sherman. And I know I keep saying that, but that's a bigger deal than people realize. Four-core special teams guy. He was your H-back. He was your third tight end last year, and in many cases. And so, to me, Noah Gray could be that. He could be a sausage 2.0 in a way. But here's why I think Kelsey liked it. He knows how creative coach can be when he gets a second or third tight end who can play like this kid can play. Because now all of a sudden the heat's off Kelsey, mm-hmm. or you go three tight ends, and now something can break free. Because basically when Kelsey was getting rolling in his career, 14, 15, 16, the Chiefs used that a lot. Back in the days when they would have a Fasano or Demetrius Harris was here. Mm-hmm. I remember we beat Miami with three tight ends in 2014. And so I think Kelsey knows too. That opens up, go back in that big book and find the three tight end pages.
So versatile. Again, take the playbook, just expand a little more. Like Reed and Bienemy and Kafka need any more ammunition. Expand the playbook a little bit. We'll have to see what happens with Noah, but it is an interesting guy. And remember, the Chiefs like Noah Gray. They move up to get him. Again, Senior Bowl was a great time for people to stand out. It was one of the few evaluation periods you had that was controlled by the NFL. Because when you got to the schools for pro days, again, everything was limited and the timing was done by the school. Didn't have the combine. That's where you go. You go to the combines, you do your medicals and all that. Well, 150 guys went to Indianapolis for the medicals only this year, the draft picks, but they were coming in, trickling in slow with the medicals. So combine's such a big part. But the Senior Bowl was different this year than other years because there's a lot of valuation went down there. And certainly Noah Gray earned some value in that game. Mitch also talked about the three Vs, not Bs, Vs as in victory. Value, versatility, and vision.
I'll make this three Vs. Value is obvious. I think the rest of the league has seen that's how they're looking at the Chiefs draft of value, meaning where did you get the guy slotted based on where he was evaluated by the rest of the league. And I think that Nick Bolton dropped probably about 20 spots because of, one, the quarterback rush at the beginning.
Yeah.
Then it became the lineman rush. And then inexplicably and unexpectedly, at the early part of the second, the safety rush. All of a sudden, we're monitoring, getting ready. We're doing our shows with Matt McMullen, who was terrific, by the way. He's a great follow. But we're seeing these safeties push everything down. Well, all of a sudden, now Nick Bolton falls 10 to 12 slots lower than he was. So you get value. Creed Humphrey the same way. Mm-hmm. And you go right now. I don't know about Kane, though. He would be the one. I don't know. He's probably where he would be. But even you go down, Noah Gray, Cornell Powell, Trey Smith. If Trey Smith, we all know about the medicals and right. people to discuss that and the blood clotting and serious stuff. If Trey Smith clears all that, he might be the most value guy in this whole draft.
Yeah, a lot of people.
He could be a long time starter. He's athletic. He's a stud. The second B would be versatility, and it's what Andy Reid loves. And now Veach knows. Like, you know, can you guys do the evening show? And can you do the? I mean, the more you can do, and this class has a lot of versatility to it. Three, I would say vision. And when I say that, it's there's more to this class than meets the eye. There's more than measurables in this class. It's not just 40 times and how many times did we bench. Because just take Creed Humphrey. Oklahoma season, they had just lost to K-State and Norman. And that boat is rocking. Like Spencer Rattler, is he good enough and all of that. The one dude that kept it all together was Creed Humphrey. And so Bolton was the same way. Like his leadership abilities and his ability to handle the locker room. You go all the way down. Noah Gray might be the governor of four states right now. We don't even know it. Did you listen to his interview?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, it's like, what are you doing? I mean, anyway, so and I think Cornell Powell stays around this day and age where everybody clicks and drag to the transfer portal. He's there 5 years. Well, guess who's there? Just look down, look at the guys who were there. Mike Williams was there. Hunter Renfrow, who am I leaving out? T. Higgins, maybe. So this room full of wide receivers, he has to just hang in there. He could have click and drag, transferred out. He stayed. And his best football was at the end of his career. He lights up Notre Dame for 176. He hits Pitt for 167. There's something there.
So there's Mitch on the three Vs, value, versatility, and vision. One more cut with Mitch Holtus on the rebuilt offensive line, something we've talked about a lot tonight. Do this before we switch gears to the Kansas City Royals to kind of finish out the show. But I love this. We're going to talk about the rebuilt offensive line, the competition. in Austin Blythe, if he gets beat out by Creed Humphrey, okay, well, he's in the competition for the guard now. He was the right guard in L.A. with the Rams before Brian Hill got hurt and he got moved to center. Did it well. Didn't complain. Goes and gets the job done in Los Angeles for Sean McVay's offense. Again, up-tempo offense, what you're going to see here in Kansas City. But here's Mitch Holtis on the rebuilt line.
One of Veach's biggest accomplishments to me. We're less than 90 days. Tomorrow would be the, 89th day or 88th. February robs us of 2 days. Mm-hmm. But tomorrow's February 7th. I mean, sorry, May the 7th. So 3 months from February 7th, we know what happened on that day. In less than 3 months, they have taken what was seen to be a huge weakness into one of its biggest strengths now. And I'm excited to see what happens with the offensive line. Back to Creed. Coach Reed demands his offensive linemen to move. You've got to move. If you're a guard, you've got to play the power game and move at least like a left to right pull inside behind the right guard. They love to run the power game. But they also have to move. We talk about the screen game. But the center is so key in the screen game. The best screens, some of the best screens Andy Reid has run here was when Rodney Hudson was the center. I still remember the game in 13 against the Philadelphia Eagles. And there were a couple screens where he's out, like, on the corner. And then all of a sudden the linebacker doesn't see him, and then he air holes him or pops up, and there's this 50-yard screen play. I think Creed can do that because of his ability to move. And so I think that opens up another part of Coach's book. Go back to, hey, the center on the screen game with Creed. But the offensive line will be fascinating to watch. You're sitting there looking now. If you look at that, I think right now on the roster there are 15. Well, you can make a case for 10 to 12 of them.
Yeah.
Serious case.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget guys like Martinez Rankin, right, who are in the crock pot. But you're only going to keep 8, 9 at the most. And 9, you rob something else. And probably 8 and 7 are active on game day. So what happens to the other guys? I think a lot of the other 31 teams will be wherever in camp. Hopefully in St. Joe will be coming around disguised as like Missouri Western security guy, because they're going to be snatching. If I'm the Jaguars and I got first waiver claim,
mm-hmm.
I'll be watching the Chiefs every day.
I mean, come on. Chiefs. I can't get enough of this. Chiefs offseason workouts May 25th through 27th, June 1st through 3rd, June 8th through 11th, mandatory minicamp June 15th to 17th, rookie minicamp the 14th and 16th of May. How about that? Three teams are going this weekend. The Jets, the Raiders, and the Colts. The rest are going the following weekend. So there's going to be a lot of stuff coming out with the Kansas City Chiefs. So you get the Chiefs and the Royals, who lost today to the Cleveland Indians 4-0. We discuss them. And really the motivation for what's next for the Kansas City Royals.
Big at Night.
Welcome back to Big at Night. Jay Binkley, Julio Sanchez. You heard the voice lady right there. Download the Odyssey app. There was a lot of questions about that. You go through the text line and stuff. Well, it's all worked out now. You can listen to every Royals game on the Odyssey app. Or 610 Sports Radio, whatever. Because you can take them anywhere.
We're mobile. We're mobile now, Bank.
I mean, it's very handy.
It is.
I was somewhere the other night. I was watching a little bit of the game with Mom.
I've listened to just about every game since it's been available.
But I had to go from there to the car, Odyssey app, and then get in the car in 610.
That's right.
I'm not just saying it because I work here, but it's the truth. It's free.
You don't have to pay.
And you don't have to worry about blackouts. You don't have to worry about those things. It's free. Royals lose today to the Cleveland Indians. First time they've swept the Kansas City Royals in 4 games at Kauffman Stadium. Fourth time in franchise history they've beaten the Kansas City Royals in a 4-game set. The Royals lost 5 games straight. They've fallen out of first place. They had held it for 23 days, going back to April 13th. But they're not done yet. Yeah, the Indians got their game today with the Royals. Their pitching staff is good. The bullpen is good. Just look at their lineup. They got a few hits. Looked okay, but didn't scare you, did it? Besides Ramirez and Franmil Reyes. I mean, they're good players. But they did lose Santana to the Royals. They lost Lindor to the Mets. And again, Lindor's not having a great year. I think Santana's a big loss for Cleveland, to be quite honest with you.
Agreed.
Well, the Royals find themselves 7-7 in the Central. They were 17-23 in a truncated 60-game season last year, where they only played divisional opponents 10 times. They were 1-9 against the White Sox last year. They're 1-1 this year. Get the White Sox coming up this weekend. And really, it's about washing that series away. You know, forget about Angel and all that. You'll see him again this weekend, but just forget about the ump show. Just clearly it's been. There's bigger fish to fry, and those fish are the Chicago White Sox. That's what the Royals should be concentrating on, because they're in the middle of a 17-game gauntlet, stretch, run, weeks, whatever you want to call it, against AL Central. Teams that you have to beat up on. Now, Minnesota, it's feast or famine. It's either good or really bad. Going against the Twins that have suddenly played better baseball. They were not playing good baseball when the Royals went in there. They started to, and then they had a 10-2 win against Cleveland before they played the Royals, and they had a couple of good games. Well, the Royals will see them again here. Again, it's a 17-game stretch against the Central. The Royals, they were 1-6 in that stretch, but they're 7-7 overall, 1-6 in the stretch. It's 17 straight games. Started with the Twins last weekend, goes all the way through. The Royals will not play somebody out of the Central till May 18th. That's a hell of a long time to be playing everybody in the division. Whit Merrifield, after the game, and this has clearly become one of our favorite cuts of all time, Julio. Whit said this, which is 100% true.
Do you think it was going to be peaches and roses all year?
I'm going to use that all the time.
When
now.
You start with this,
do you think it was going to be peaches and roses all year? You know, we're gonna go through something like this at some point, and you find out a lot about a team and a lot about, you know, the men in there when you get punched in the mouth, and we got punched in the mouth this homestand or this past series, and see how we can respond, see what kind of team we got, see what kind of men we got in there.
Challenge has been laid down. See what we got. Been punched in the mouth to see what you got. Whit said, though, these guys, you know, they may celebrate the wins, but they care about the losses, and they always want to get better. And even in the middle of when this team's playing well, certain guys weren't playing well, but they always want to get better, and that's always a good sign. What Whit was saying, which I believe it because he doesn't mince words, he says what he feels, said this about guys fighting.
Well, when things go well, I see guys that are – working to fix the problem, not just crumbling and sulking. You know, guys are getting after it and trying to make adjustments and trying to put themselves in position to succeed. And in this game, that's not always going to happen, but all you can do is understand the problem, do your best to address the problem and make adjustments to fix it. And we got a bunch of guys in there that are grinding to do that because everybody in there wants to win. And that's the end goal. And you got to put yourself in the best position for you to succeed individually in order to help this club win. And we got guys that are grinding through it. You know, we got some guys that are struggling a little bit. But like I said, there's no sulking. There's no just sort of caving. Guys are fighting to get better.
There's no crying in baseball. South Carolina needs to hire Whit to talk to their football and baseball team. Seriously. I'm not kidding. You got a guy out there from your university, won a national championship there in baseball. He's proven himself, right?
Yeah.
You bring Whit back to talk to teams. Again, I think the guy's going to be a hell of a manager someday. What's going to happen tomorrow, Whit?
We expect to come out and win tomorrow, just like every day. We expect to show up to the field and win. And I think I said it a couple weeks ago, it's a different feeling this year than previous years, and that's a great feeling. So, you know, we expect to go tonight and enjoy the night off and kind of get away, come back tomorrow refreshed and expect to win, because we do. We really do expect to win every day. We expect to win tomorrow.
I love that attitude. You got to expect to win.
I don't know about you, but I'm motivated right now.
I'm ready for this. Right? I'm ready for the game tomorrow. Let's go. White Sox. It's a big series for the Royals.
They need this.
Everybody's All-Americans with the manager that's great, who's in the Hall of Fame, Tony La Russa, but he also didn't know the rules in extra innings.
Yeah.
I mean, there are things like that. You take advantage. They've had injuries. Luis Robert was huge for the White Sox. They can pitch, though. It's a good lineup. But again, you have your opportunity, three games in Kansas City.
We need to take advantage.
Whit was asked what he expects from the White Sox.
Big leagues. Everybody's good. Doesn't matter who it is. Doesn't matter what their ERA says, what team they're on, if they've had success or not. Everybody's good. Just the difference is when you have consistency, you know, you have better numbers. So we faced these guys before. We know what they got, and it's just a matter of us putting together a game plan and executing. And if we do that better than they do, we'll win.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Wash it away. Relax.
Let's hope so.
Separate yourself. Be ready for tomorrow for the White Sox. Can't guarantee the sun's going to come up Saturday. Don't know. I don't know what the weather's going to do. But I don't trust weathermen. I don't. They've been very inaccurate. Thanks to Ron Kopp from ArrowheadPride.com for joining us tonight. Thanks, Julio Sanchez, for gracing the airwaves on Thursday, which you always do.
My pleasure.
It's been fun. I've had a lot of fun tonight. Thanks.
Let's do it again.
I appreciate Witt for all the comments after the game. Anyway, good night to everybody listening out there. We'll see you later.
Big at Night.